All right, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And Pastor Dave's back there. Let me just help you out there. okay. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Let's go ahead, if you got it up on the board here, on the screens. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And let's go over to the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23. I'm going to look at the Common English Bible since I look around here, see a lot of common folks. Praise God. And English people. And Ephesians 4:23. Common English Bible. I believe we got it on there. Is that what we got? What's wrong with you guys? Okay, let me just read you the Common English Bible, and you can pretend that's not there for now. I'll get back to that verse of Scripture later, or at least in the same version. The Common English Bible says this, and we saw that up there. It says, instead, renew your thinking. Renew your thinking. Did everybody say renew your thinking? It says, renew your thinking in your mind by the Spirit. And the mind of man, the Bible tells us in these two scriptures to renew our minds. What is the mind? The Bible says we must renew it. We must do something with it. And the scripture says renewing, when we talk about renewing, if you remember the Psalm 23rd, the 23rd Psalm, it talks about in there that he restores our soul. Psalm 23, I don't know if you can get that up there, Psalm 23, if you want to get that verse of scripture, he restores my soul. Let's go to Psalm 23, and I want to show you something and just give you a little bit more background here so that we can, you know, it's better if you people understand. They can really get more out of the teaching when they understand what you're talking about. If you're trying to catch up all the time, it's hard. So Psalm 23, let's just get the first verse of Scripture. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Do you have all you need? Yes. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Verse 2. He leads me down in the green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. This word restores is actually the same word you find in Romans chapter 12, at least similar, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, renew or restore. And the Bible gives us a picture that, you know, restoring, you know, you have to do certain things to restore something to its original setting or condition. If you restore a building, you have to take out a lot of junk. Remove different things, maybe things that may be hard. Some things are harder to remove than other things in your mind. Some things easy to stop thinking about. Other things it's harder to stop thinking about it. It's going to take you some practice. It's going to take you some work and diligence. It's going to take you some thoughtfulness about how to handle that. It just doesn't happen automatically. So after you're born again, the Bible encourages you to do something with your mind, because you did a lot of stuff, perhaps, you know, did different things that, you know, maybe even want to go, you want to cause you to go back to your old way of life. So that whole idea is talking about renovation, a whole renovation. And if you restore anything, if you've been doing that, it takes a lot of energy. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes a lot of thinking about how to do this properly. So the Bible encourages us in Romans 12 and 2 to renew our mind, but it also tells us not to be transformed like the world. The world is always trying to get your attention to make you think like they think. And if you're not careful, if you go in their environment or the environment where it's godless, You know, Psalm chapter 1, we looked at Psalm chapter 1 Sunday briefly. We said Psalm chapter 1, the Bible says that, we don't think like the ungodly. Well, what is the ungodly? It's people that are without God. And the Bible says that people without God, in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about people with they have their understanding, their minds are dark. They don't have light, the light of God in them. And so they can do things without feeling bad about things sometime. Most of the time, I guess. So we also see in Ephesians that we have to renew the spirit of our mind, our thought life. So when we think about the mind, we say, what is the mind? We know from Scripture that we are parts. There are three parts of you that you need to understand. First of all, you have a physical body. Everybody has a body. You brought your body to church today, right? You didn't leave your mind at home. You had to bring your mind with you. Your spirit is inside of you. The Bible says when you got born again, your spirit got totally transformed. You're totally born again. God did it. You have a brand new heart. Everybody say, I have a brand new heart. So not only that, but you are a brand new person. Okay, so you are a new person. Your spirit is brand new. You are a brand new you. And so after you're born again, something happens that God tells you to do something with your mind and your body. Somebody said if you do something with your mind, your body will follow. If you start thinking right, you start looking at different things, then your appetite will change. Sooner or later, you're going to want to do something. Your body's going to want to begin to do what's right. I know that when I got saved and born again, I used to smoke a lot of cigarettes, at least a pack or so a day. But I loved smoking. My body loved it. I just really enjoyed it. I just absolutely really enjoyed it. Smoking, you know, when I used to, you know, after a meal, I used to like to smoke the most. In the morning, I like to smoke. I like to smoke all day long. I would smoke if I was sleeping, if I could. So that's the way I was. My body was addicted to it. And so when I got saved, I was smoking for a while. So I'd come to church with my cigarette packet in my pocket. And I told you a story. Some of you recognize the story. I was so happy. I went to Wednesday night service. I lived in Kenora. And every service, sometimes we'd go to some people's houses and we'd have snacks. How many of you love snacks? So we're going to be turning on snacks every Wednesday night throughout the summertime. We're going to offer chips and popcorn, maybe some of the other things. So we're going to work on that. But anyway, we would go and have after service and go to this older couple, a Swedish couple, I remember them, they called the Pearsons, and they take me home and said, come on, Roman, let's have some fellowship. And, well, you know, I didn't want to hang around with older people. They're in their 70s. I'm only in my early 20s. But I found out these guys love Jesus, and they can get a hold of God, and they had God all over them. So I went to their house. That was a mistake. No, that was a good mistake. I went to their house. And how many people know when you get born again, you love Jesus, and you can hang around with anybody? So I went to their house, and they had all this spread out, and they brought all these beautiful, nice, you know, coffee pots, or like, you know, colorful, not colorful, but shiny, I don't know, what do you call these, silver? They brought them all out, and food was everywhere. And they said, let's pray first. Well, I'm not used to praying, I just want to eat. So they had this all out. So we prayed, we're going to pray first and before we have the snacks and stuff like that. So, you know, it was all hot and everything. That smells nice and everything. I'm just, man, I wish we could have this right away. It's taking too long. And these are people are slow here. Come on now. So anyway, we sat down and he said, before I pray, Roma, is there anything I can pray for you about? And I thought about it quickly because I had my cigarettes in my pocket. And I said to them, I want to quit smoking. I have these cigarettes in my pocket. And before I could say anything, he jumped on me and laid hands on me right away. I said, wait a minute, not right now. I said, I want to quit after I finish these cigarettes. And so they prayed for me. And immediately they prayed for me. I got filled with the Holy Ghost and started laughing. and started laughing, had a great time, and I went home drunk. And, but, you know, see, my mind had to be changed about smoking. And I wasn't aware that there was, you know, I mean, I kind of knew, but, I wanted to think that God kind of could wink at it and keep that little habit for a while. After all, I did lots. I quit drinking and stuff, and you know. So some of you might have some bad habits still, and you might have to get weaned a little bit tonight. So we're going to pray for everybody. Get loosed. Amen? So the mind, what is the mind? The Bible says we have to do something with our mind over here two times. So the Bible says in the New Testament, we know that we are a soul. We have a soul, or we are spirit beings. We possess a soul and live in a physical body. Everybody say it that way. Say, I am a spirit. I possess a soul. I live in a physical body. Say it again. I am a spirit. Say, I am a spirit being. I possess a soul. I live in a physical body. You'll see the scripture. You'll see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, says that you are three parts. But over here in Romans chapter 12, it also mentions in there, you can see the three parts. He says that you present your body and your mind. In other words, your spirit being, the you he's talking about in that verse of scripture, he's talking about you as a spirit being. Your spiritual nature must take charge of your mind and your body. Let's go ahead and look at that scripture again. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says here, Romans 12, 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's talking about the ye there is you, the spirit nature that's been born again. See, you have a mind. And after you're born again, you must do something about it. And the Bible charges you to do something with it. If you don't do something about it, then you're going to fall backward. You're going to have to purpose to change your mind. And so we're going to talk about the mind. Let me just mention this so that we can have a little bit more light on this so that it'll help you a little bit more. The mind is the conscious part of our being in which we think and feel and perceive. And it's a part that we make decisions. The mind is different from your spirit. And it's a part of our physical body. And so we're all connected. We're all connected that way. One part affects the other part. And so the mind, what is the mind? The Bible says in the New Testament, the mind is part of our human soul, or is a human soul, part of our human soul, in which a person can reflect conscientiously in order to perceive and understand or make decisions that we mentioned earlier. The mind in the Greek word for mind is nous, spelled N-O-U-S, which means the seat of reflection or consciousness. So your mind is a part that thinks and perceives and makes decisions. And you can see why you can have a lot of trouble if you're born again and don't do something with your mind. Because your mind will begin to make decisions, make wrong decisions based on your old nature. Because you have to be able to make that decision now. Let's just say this as well. The mind is the faculty of perception and understanding. It's the throne of feeling, judging, and determining. So as you can see, our mind is important. We need to get our mind straight and start thinking right in line with God's will and purposes. We must check our mind daily. Someone mentioned, as we mentioned earlier and other times we discussed this, our mind is like similar to combing your hair every day. You have to do that every day. And you must check your mind every day. You must check your attitude every day. You must check about what you're thinking about. Check on different things. If you start thinking about certain things, it might draw you back to an old behavior or go back into an old sin or an old lifestyle. So you see, you must be able to make a decision that way. Our mind, you must take care of it daily. Our thinking must be kept in check. Our outlook in life really depends on having a proper mental attitude. As we mentioned, we have to think about what we're thinking about. Ephesians 5:17 in the New Living Translation. Ephesians 5:17, the New Living Translation. It says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord or what the Lord wants you to do. So as you can see, you must begin to not just take your mind, you must, you know, take your thought life and harness it. Harness your thought life and make it conform to the will of God. It says in here, let me just read that again. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. The Lord wants you to do, that's talking about, that's the will of God. The King James says the will of God. So you have to understand what God's will is. You need to ask yourself, is your thinking and your behavior, you know, I'm talking about your attitudes and your desires. When he talks about your body, he's not talking about just your physical body, you know, physical body right there. He's talking about your physical body with its all its appetites and desires. The wants of your body. Because if you don't do something about it, you'll want to do the same things you did before. If you drank beer or did some kind of behaviors that's not in line with God's ways, then you're going to have a hard time. You're going to go back to the same way. But understand this, you know, no matter how you feel, you can change. See, your feelings is not really you. Your feelings are just your outside body. And you know, what's wrong with people is that they get too conscientious about how they feel. And that becomes the real you. The real you is not how you feel. So your feelings have been trained along a certain line in life by the flesh, the fleshly lifestyle. And if you follow the dictates of your physical body, the Bible says in Romans, that in Romans chapter 8, you'll eventually die. I like when one guy said one time, you know, your appetite, some people are killing themselves with their sport phone, you know, their phone. I want to say it all at one time. With their forks and spoon. Did you understand that? Shaka bokula masitia. Then he said, what do you say? I'm not talking to you. Okay, anyway. The Bible talks about that. You know, you can destroy your body. So don't act thoughtlessly. So what we believe in life is a result of our thinking. Whatever you believe in life, it's because you trained your mind, you receive thoughts. You know, what are thoughts? Thoughts contain, you know, ideas and whatever. They give you pictures. And so, two, your mind is a result of what you've been thinking about. If we think wrong, we'll believe wrong. And if we think wrong, the consequences of our actions will show the negativity that will come out of it. The Word of God is given to us to straighten out or govern our thinking. The Word of God will give you the ability to govern your thought life and put it in line with the will of God. When you think wrong, you'll believe wrong. And if you believe wrong, you'll have a wrong way of confessing things or talking in life. If you think wrong, you're going to talk wrong. You'll say things that are not in line with God's will. And how many people know that your tongue, the way you talk, is going to take you to the destination of your confession? James chapter 3 talks about your tongue, whatever you say, will take you to wherever what you've been talking about. You can tell whatever someone is talking about, that's where they're going to end up eventually. The Bible doesn't lie. Whatever you say, if you say I'm weak, I'm failing, I'm not going to make it, you know, things are bad here in Thunder Bay, you know, Thunder Bay is a horrible town. No, you can make it nice for you. It might be bad for everybody else, but for you, it's going to be awesome. The best place you're going to be in life is where God wants you to be. I want to say that one more time. The best place for you is where God wants you. So you have to determine if God wants you here, then this is the best place for you. It don't matter if there's drug addiction in this town. It don't matter if there's people dying of whatever it is. You're going to say, this is if God brought me here, there's a purpose for me here. And I'm not dying here. I'm going to live here. And I'm going to do something good here. You can sober up anywhere you want to sober up. It depends what you're thinking. Amen? But you can't get across that to everybody right away. And I remember when I first got out of detox and sobered up, and I got sobered up and I went to AA meetings for a number of months and years there for a little bit. I went to college. Then I got a job, and all of a sudden I got a job. Now I'm going to move out of town. My support system is here. So I went to Kenora, my first job, and I was like, teary-eyed. It's just only like a few hours away over here. So I moved there for a job, and I was lonely. And I went there, and so I moved to this town. And when I went to this town, I thought it was the worst place for me to be, because it was the most place where most First Nations people at that time were a lot of people on the street drinking. I don't know if you ever remember that in the 80s or 70s. They had a big confrontation there many years ago with the Anishinaabe Park, and I don't know if anybody ever remember that. And I remember all the commotion going on there. And when I worked there as a summer student, I saw all the happenings on the city, on the streets, and I said, I don't want to move there. But you know what? God got me there, and I remain strong there. So you can go wherever God wants you to be, provided you made up your mind about some things. But if you haven't made up your mind and you're walking by fears, yeah, you're gonna get destroyed. Praise the Lord. What you confess, again, what you say is the result of what you've been believing. If you confess right, you'll start to think right. The Bible has much to say about the mind. Proverbs 4:23 says, the Good News Bible, Good News Translation says this. 4:23, Proverbs 4:23. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. I'm reading the Good News Bible. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. So be careful how you think. I've seen this in the Bible. I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 1. There's a scripture that tells about that the Bible says to grab a whole, grab the loins of your mind, or grab the loins of your mind. I believe that's the scripture there. That you have to grab a hold of your loins of your mind. What is the loins of your mind? It's loins represent, reproduction system in the man's life. So you must be able to grab a hold of that. You're thinking so that you don't want to reproduce the kind of thinking that you have. All kinds of thoughts will come to you. It doesn't mean that automatically they're going to, manifest. They might be there for years. But if you meditate on them, eventually they're going to be part of your spirit. So you have to take care of your mind and begin to harness the thoughts, because you don't want to reproduce what you're thinking about. So you have to take control of that, or it will take control of you. So Proverbs 3:5 says in Good News Bible, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think and know. So it's not always what you know about it, what you think about everything. It doesn't matter what you think about it. I'm not interested in what you think. I'm interested in what God thinks about it. What God thinks about you. It doesn't matter what somebody thought about you, if they think you're the low level of life. It don't matter what they think. It matters what God thinks about you. And he thinks good things about you. God says, I have thoughts that are higher for you. Better thoughts. So just because somebody thinks bad about you, it doesn't mean that you're bad. You might have done a few bad things. But you're not totally bad. Nobody is totally, totally bad. I look around here, some people have nice hair. You're not totally bad. Amen? Some guy, they were saying, this man, you know, he was always berating everybody and had negative things to say about everybody. He was just mean, you know, he died. An older man, he died. And this one fellow said, you know, he come around, he'd never had a bad thing to say about anybody. And this guy that died was not a very nice person. They asked him, what do you think about that guy? What do you think about him? Well, he said he had nice teeth. Well, you know that, you know, it's not, one thing about it, you shouldn't say anything bad about people, but he found something good to say about him. Find good things to say about yourself. And then you'll go far. So, your thoughts may not always be correct according to Scripture. Be careful how you think. Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 3:5. Never rely on what you know, what you think about it. Did you know the children of Israel, when they were given commission to go and take the land, God said, I've given you this land, go over and take it. They crossed over to Jordan. I guess there was the east side and the west side. They said, go on the west side. And some of the older, I think with the two tribes, they said, we want to stay on this side, the east side. And the guy said, you can't stay on the east side because we have to go to on that side. You're going to let your brothers go ahead. And you said, here, and take this part of the land. No, you have to come with us. He said, yeah, we'll let our children stay on this side. But we'll go to the other side and fight with you. And so they did. After they won some battles, they said, you can have that other side on the east side. But when they had came to a place called Kadesh Barnea, Moses sent the spies over. He said, you know, go and spy out the land, see what it's like. So they went over, they sent 12 spies, or one from each tribe. And they went over to spy the land. And they looked at the land. And so they all came back after searching out the land, and there's 10 of them said, oh, the land is a good land, but it's inhabited by giants. The cities are walled. It's such a huge walls, and we could never penetrate those walls. They're huge walls. And the people are huge. And we're just like grasshoppers in their sight. How many people sometimes you just I don't know what the term is in psychology, but you make yourself what's that term I'm using, Anita? I'm not sure what that term I'm using. You know, you think what people are thinking of you. Projection is a good term. Who said that? Somebody, a psychologist over here. That's good though, right? Projection. So that's what you're doing. You're doing that. He took Psychology 101 introduction. But I'm telling you, that's true. Like, you know, we like to think, you know, that we always perceive that's what people think about us. So these guys, these Israelites, went over there and they perceived this is the giants are looking at us. We're just puny little folks. But they never saw themselves from God's perspective. You know, God says, I'm giving you the land. Go and take it. God was not setting them up. He said, go take the land. They don't know there's giants over there. They're going to get slaughtered. Watch this, guys. No, God wasn't like that. He didn't set them up. And God's telling all of you, with your mind, your puny little mind, that all you knew about all your experiences. But God's telling you, he's got some experiences and other things in mind for you. That you can do some stuff you didn't know you could do. I said, you can do some stuff you didn't know you could do. Amen. I'm going to say that one more time. You can do some stuff you didn't know you could do. Amen. It's amazing because sometimes we don't think like that. You know, we're doing something, you know, projects of God told me something. But you said, we can't do that. We're just, who am I? You see that time and time in the Bible. When God called upon his ministers or men to do something or women to do something, they said, we can't do it. So these guys went over there and they said, They looked at the land, looked at the people, said, we can't do this because this is a huge project. We couldn't do this. But God says you can. So 10 spies came back and said we couldn't do it. Only 2 people said we can do it. Why? Because God's on our side. God said we can do it. These people are just like, just a good meal for us. We're going to do this. And you know what? What happened? Their thinking about who they were prevented them from entering in the blessings of God. So your thinking is preventing you from going to a place where God wants you to go. So these Israelites who were thinking, and God had a huge plan for them. God had a huge blessing for them, waiting for them on the other side. So their mind blocked them from going to get what God wanted them to go to get. And so they were blocked. And so in fact, let me tell you this, all that generation of those people who believed those other people, how many people here in this room believe the words of other people have said to them? They thought about that. They thought about the things everybody said about them, and they used that negativity to stop them from moving on ahead. And these Israelites, the whole generation who believed those 10 spies, they died. Except people who were 20 years of age and younger went on and possessed the land. It's amazing what your mind can stop you from achieving in life. Just because you didn't do it, just because you don't have the degree, just because you don't have the training, just because you don't have this, it doesn't mean that you can't do what God told you to do. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. 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 We can do great things. You're awesome. You're amazing. Hallelujah. I think we better stop right here. If I go any further, you'll be here for another 15 minutes at least. Let's go ahead and stand up. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's wonderful. Don't let your thinking stop you. Don't let other people's thoughts of you stop you. Glory to God. Somebody might have, a small vision of your life, but you might have a huge vision of your life. Don't try to fit your picture in their puny little picture frame. You had a huge picture. Think about it. God has a wonderful plan, the Bible says, and in Psalm 139, he says, all your days are written in my book. Things that are wonderful and great and mighty. You have appointments to make. Great appointments, great achievements in life. There's somebody waiting just for you right now. Somebody's waiting for you somewhere. And you're just the right person to meet that need. And I believe you're here for a reason. Thunder Bay needs you. Somebody needs you. We need you. We want you. We love you. Amen? We need you. Say, I'm needed. Say, I'm needed. Say, I mean something. Say, I have a purpose. Say, I have a vision. Say, I got a huge vision. God has a great plan for me. We need to understand that God has great plans for you. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I have great plans for you. I have plans for you. I got a future for you. I don't know how many times if you failed, get up again. Get up again and move on. I don't care how much failure you've had. The Bible says that Jesus met a woman who was married 6 times. Jesus didn't condemn her. He didn't say, oh man, you married 6 men there. That's really bad. He accepted her. And God's accepted you. We failed, all right, but we're not a failure. We might have failed, but we're not a failure. We've made mistakes, but we're not a mistake. God knew you exactly. He knew about you a long time ago before you're born, and He knows He wants something for you to do. Thank you, Lord. Can you lift your hands and thank God? Can you lift your hands and say, Lord, I want to thank you. I have a purpose in life. There's a plan for my life. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. You're wonderful. There's nobody like you, Lord. You're truly magnificent. We thank you, wonderful Lord. We appreciate you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we're going to pray a prayer together. Say, dear Lord, I offer my body, I offer my mind, my spirit to you right now. You can have me. Do what you're supposed to do in my life. I'm leaning on you. Forgive me for not doing what I'm supposed to do. So, Father, you said I have a good plan. I have a future, a great future. And I thank you right now. By faith, I receive it. I'm expecting great things. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Turn around and shake somebody's hand. Tell them I'm happy you made it tonight to church. Those of you watching online, maybe you're watching online, wherever you are, I want to let you know that God loves you and that He has a plan for you. If you've never been born again, if you just say the simple prayer, just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. Come in my heart, save me. Your word says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I want to thank you right now. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer, contacted us. We want to know who you are. We want to send you some material to help you grow in your spiritual life. But next time, we'll see you on Sunday. God bless you.